We are come to celebrate the life of a child, to worship God and to share our lives together. Please sit down. Good morning and welcome to Christ Church. It's lovely to have the family of Natalie and Johnny, the families of Natalie and Johnny, one family of course now, isn't it? And their friends. You're most welcome here today. We have got some visitors as well today. There's a line of them there. Adam Stewart. Oh, Mike's put his hand up. He's come back to have another dose and see if that's all right. Adam Stewart has come with his dad and his daughter and his sister. A sort of nostalgia, come back and see us again. It's lovely to have you here with us today. And of course, there's lots of people here for the baptism as well. We're going to do the service as it goes. We'll see how it goes. But the first thing to sort of deal with is the fact that lots of people have brought some toys today. And the toys are going to be taken to a group of organisations in and around Rotherham. And they're used by Rotherham Children's Services, Barnardo's, Parkgate Care, a whole variety of... Where's Anne? I can't see you, Anne. Anne, come here. Just come up with a little step there. Anne Levick used to work for Rotherham Children's Services, and she's our contact. And so she's retired, well, or stopped working there. She's our facilitator still. So can you tell us, who's going to get these toys, Anne?
The toys will be distributed to all the different agencies within Rotherham, and they only go to children that usually get nothing or very little. So it's very kind of you again to invite myself and Joyce, as you know, again this year, and it's lovely to be with all these children. It makes it very, very Christmassy.
It seemed really appropriate that it's on a baptism, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
So on your behalf, I say thank you to everybody who's brought the toys, and thank you to you for sorting it out at the other end, Anne.
That's not a problem. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you. What I thought we'd do was we'd ask the children if they could come and collect all the toys in for us. Do you know these toys are all being collected to give to children at Christmas who haven't got any toys? So do you think you could come and give me a hand? Come on, come on. And while we're doing that, we'll sing the first hymn, which is on the sheet. And I think it's probably the first Christmas carol you've sung this year, apart from Santa in Waitrose, right? So we're going to stand and sing the hymn, which says Jesus is at the heart of Christmas, doesn't it? And as you go through the hymn, you'll see the bits about, it feels like show and tell here, you'll see the bits about gifts and cards and tinsel, and it seemed right that we should have a Christmas carol to start this service when we're collecting all these gifts. So if you'd like to stand and sing as loudly as you can, Jesus is the heart of Christmas. Hello! Yes, right, come on. Now, come on, let's put... Please sit down. Well, that got a bit enthusiastic. But thank you very much, everybody, for bringing the toys that are wonderful here. So, and can I say thank you to you as well for helping me? Isn't that a fabulous lot of toys? And you've all got some stuff to do there, haven't you? Eh? Brilliant. Thank you to you for sorting it out. When we meet, the first thing that we often do is just check up with each other on what's going on in our lives. Welcomes and things like that. We've done welcomes. But I want to say a big tribute to Pearl, who on Friday night ran a concert here for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Organization, and this church. And I think they raised nearly £500 altogether. So that's fantastic. So well done, Pearl. I want, and Clive. You probably, some of you might know a woman called Vera House, who lived on Victoria Road. Sadly, she's passed away, and her funeral will be here on Friday at 12:45 in church. I've only just got the details. I haven't managed to circulate. I'm seeing the family this on Tuesday night. So thank you for working around that. Next Sunday night, there won't be a film night here. Next Sunday night, no film night. John wants to say something about Cargo. Cargo was the musical that we put on about the anti-slavery movement in the 19th century and about modern slavery. Go ahead, John. Thank you, John. I know of one birthday. Does anybody know of any more? Brian, you're hiding behind there. Happy birthday, Brian. Are there any more birthdays this week? Mike? Right. And Carol? Well, shall we sing a happy birthday to you all? Is that all right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you all. Happy birthday to you. Mic's on.
Good morning, and a welcome to everyone from the church members here. I've got one or two additions to the notices, but first, can I also, this is in joys and concerns, the Lunch Club have received an award from the International Day of Older Persons. It's all about the food we serve, so that's an award to the Lunch Club. Katie has asked me to mention and push the Salvation Army Citadel Band will be here next Saturday, 7 o'clock. Kate, you've got tickets, and Sue's got tickets. The tickets are £5 each. It'll be a really good evening. So if you'd like to come and support the Army Citadel Band. Next Sunday is the last Sunday for shoeboxes. So please, if you've got shoeboxes at home that you're half full, please can you fill them and bring them next Sunday at the latest. And finally, Simon has given me a notice. Josh, Simon's son, and his girlfriend Jess are appearing in Jesus Christ Superstar as Jesus and Mary Magdalene from the 7th to the 11th of May next year at the Grand Theatre in Lancaster. A number of people who have expressed an interest to go So we would like to know how many people are potentially interested to, and we'll organise a coach trip. It might be our own minibus, or our minibus and Trinity's minibus, or a bigger coach. The theatre tickets will be approximately £14, and then there'll be the fee for the coach on top. So if you could speak to Simon or Christine. Christine's there after the service. Thank you very much. Are you going to? You'll deal with
What Jenny didn't say is that this award has been given to the Lunch Club for serving scrumptious meals and rendering exemplary culinary services. I think that means they wash their hands. You all know that lots of things go on here that we need money to support: the Lunch Club, the social cafe, the Todd, all sorts of stuff. So now's your time to share with us some of your offerings as we take the collection, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let us pray. We have so many good things in this world. And we give thanks to our Lord for our homes, our families, our food, our clothes, lives of love and opportunity. And we pray that we may use these gifts in the work of this church, in this town and elsewhere. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing now the hymn that's on the sheet, the baptism hymn, Wonder of Wonders. It's sung to a tune that I expect you've all heard at school or wherever. It's an old Scottish tune, Wonder of Wonders.
Thank you.
Please sit down. We celebrate a children's baptism, but the early church never did infant baptism. They baptized adults when they declared themselves as believers in Jesus. But of course, as the first adult believers in Jesus got older and they had more children and grandchildren, they thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to baptize the children when they're born? Which is where infant baptism comes from. Of course, like all things, men and women put all sorts of superstitions on baptism. So, for example, I remember as a child being told, you can't take your child out until you've had it baptized. Or a granny would say, I'm not babysitting until you've had that child baptized. And people used to think things like baptism would wash the child's sins away. No. Has this little child got any sins? Now, I know she might have her moments, but not in the way we would describe as sinful or bad. These are innocent children. So when Jesus was having a sleep one day on a hillside, and some people came to him and to bless their children, his disciples, his friends, said, oh, don't go, don't wake him up, he's having a nap. And Jesus, you know, men when they're sleeping can usually hear what's being said. Not always. Jesus heard what they were saying and said, don't stop the children coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven, the future glorious world we're going to live in, will be like children. And of course, everybody's always been puzzled about that. How can you say the kingdom of heaven will be like a little child? Well, I think you can say it will be a place of innocence and goodness, of hope and opportunity, of love. It'll bring out the care and sharing in other people. The kingdom of heaven is like a little child. And we're going to baptize a little child in that love and within the life of the church. So I'm now going to ask Leo's parents and godparents if they will please stand and have sight of the sheet. Somebody will hold it for you if you're holding a child as well. Or you might. She's gone. And first I'm going to ask the parents, the four parents, questions. Do you, Leo's parents, wish to bring your child for baptism into the life of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do you promise to love and support each other in Leo's upbringing so that he will grow up in a loving and caring family?
We do.
Do you promise to renounce evil and bring Leo up in a Christian home?
We do.
Do you promise to take Leo to church when he's old enough, so that he can discover for himself what the love of God in Jesus could mean for him?
We do.
Now I'm going to ask the godparents, please. Do you, Leo's godparents, promise to love and support Leo throughout his life, taking care for him when needed, supporting his parents, and showing him the love of God made real in Jesus our Lord? And now the family and friends, will you please say together, and congregation, do you, the family and friends of Leo, promise to love and support Natalie and Johnny as they raise Leo? Thank you. This water has been slightly warmed.
Good luck.
Hello, Leo. Hello. Yeah, I'm fine. I need a new suit. Name this child.
Leo Jackson Priestley.
Leo Jackson Priestley. Hello, Leo. Leo Jackson Priestley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well done, little boy. Isn't he lovely? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Would you like to sit down for a moment? I'm just going to go and show you to the rest of the people. Is that okay? I'll come straight back. Look at them all there too. Yes, a bunch of them, don't you? This is your hymn. Well, he's very good. Wish I had one like that. Mine was a terror.
Doesn't want to light. Receive this light, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way. May you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Amen.
Can I suggest we blow that out straight away? Is that all right? And then we've got a box for you to put it in. Is there a child with a book or something?
Yes,
Where is she? Have we got a child with a... there's a box already written out for the candle. And here's Lily with the children's Bible. Thank you, Lily. That's lovely. That's lovely. And there's a colouring in book as well there. And there's the baptism certificate. And there's a box to put all the cards and all the bits and pieces from today in. So, shall I just take those off you for now?
Thank you.
Let me take those off you.
Thank you.
Now, every week in church, we have a reading from the Bible, and it's written, it's listed which one it should be, so that all the churches in all the towns and in England and all around the world, well, not all, but nearly all, are reading the same reading. And sometimes you get a reading and you think, well, I'm not sure I understand what that reading's about. And this is one of those readings, and I'm going to explain it to you afterwards, I hope.
The reading can be found on page 65. It's Mark chapter 13, verses 1-8. Ian says that we might not understand it. I think there are a lot of people in this congregation who will understand the last sentence. I'll say no more than that. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and buildings." Jesus answered, "You see these great buildings? Not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one of them will be thrown down." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple when Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him in private. "Tell us when this will be," they said, "and tell us what will happen to show that the time has come for all these things to take place." Jesus said to them, "Be on guard and don't let anyone deceive you. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he,' and they will deceive many people. And don't be troubled when you hear the noise of battles close by and news of battles far away. Such things must happen, but they do not mean that the end has come. Countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack one another. There will be earthquakes everywhere and there will be famines. These things are like the first pains of childbirth.
Thank you, Jane. I think indeed there are. This reading is at the start of some of the words of Jesus. And of course, you know, whatever you, not everybody thinks that the believes in God anymore, but lots of people do. But whatever that is, we do know that Jesus lived, and we know that he spoke and he talked, and we have many of his words written down, and we have independent witnesses for it. And this is one of the things that he said. And he said it at the start of a whole series of little stories about what people later called the end of the world. And people in Jesus' time believed that the end of the world was imminent. And that's part of why they had their babies baptized, because they didn't want the end of the world to happen without their babies being baptized. They believed that there would be a time when the world would end and everybody would be called to account for the good things or the bad things that they had done. And the call from faithful people was always to be ready for that, to have lives that were good and holy and acceptable, to do good works so that they would not burn in hell. Now, of course, we're not sure that the world works like that anymore. And in fact, I think we now feel that the end of the world is in our own hands if we're not careful. We can trigger a nuclear conflict unless we can find ways of living peaceably across the planet. Or we can burn in a hell of pollution which will destroy this planet unless we change our ways and consume less and use less fossil fuels and tear down fewer forests and throw away fewer items. But Jesus is saying that even in the face of a future cataclysm, which he expressed as God-given, we perhaps now fear more a man-made one, we have grounds for hope. He said that if we're faithful to the elements of his message, then we will be able to live fulfilled lives and be free of fear and want. The message is that in the end, justice and peace will triumph. And perhaps for you it doesn't feel like that when you watch the news or when you talk to each other. But actually, if you think about it, we no longer accept that it's a natural instinct of men to fight. We regret the fact that they do feel like that often. We no longer think that it's a natural for men to have some roles and women to have others. We no longer think that it's right to discriminate on the grounds of race or colour or creed or gender or orientation. These things are changes which 1,000 years ago would have been unimaginable. The world has changed and continues to change. Of course, on the way, many people will get hurt because they themselves lead self-destructive lives. Or most people will be hurt because they live at the mercy of people or nations who are richer or stronger or greedier or more evil. Jesus' central message, tricked up in words that sometimes seem odd, is one of hope. That despite the suffering and the anxiety that people have endured in a troubled world, their faithfulness to Jesus' message will eventually be vindicated in a reality that lives a new kingdom in a godly world. And that's the hard bit. Jesus is calling us to live lives that meet his standards.
Love God, he said, and love your neighbour as yourself. That's what it's about. Love God and love your neighbour as yourself. And if you can't love God, and by that he means being loving and respectful and worship those things that are right and good and true and everlasting, and if you can't love your neighbours as yourselves, then we will all perish. There's no other way. If we can't love our neighbours as ourselves, we will surely perish. Of course, our neighbours aren't just people in Stocksbridge, are they? Because either we are prepared to agree that some people in our country can live in absolute abject poverty. The Bible would describe it as being without food and clothes. And a poverty which destroys souls around this town, in this country, and around the world. Or because we don't love those who are suffering through conflict enough to do something to help them to live free and safe lives. Or because we're too greedy to think about how our lives can change the planet. Jesus' call now is just as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago. It is a word for today. Love your neighbour or perish in a hell of your own making. At the heart of Jesus' words are that vision to hold fast to love. A confidence that comes from the listening to the words of Jesus. Love God, love your neighbour. Love God, love your neighbour, and we will have a future in which we can all flourish. And actually, you've done some of that this morning. You have loved God and loved your neighbour by bringing these toys for those children who will have none at Christmas, or bringing food into the food bank. You have loved God and loved your neighbour by making a decision that we will raise money to support asylum seekers. You have loved God and loved your neighbour by deciding that we will have a policy here of environmental development to make sure that our church and our own lives pollute as little as possible. You have taken those steps. You are part of that trajectory towards a future where the kingdom is present and where love and justice and peace abide. You can be the disciples of Jesus on this journey. Amen. And we're going to just share in a few prayers, a moment of prayer, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the life of this child, Leo, for the love that brought him into being and surrounds him now as he grows. We give thanks for his family, his godparents, and his wider friends, whom he doesn't yet know, but will come to know and love. We pray for this church that it may love and support the children in its care, and for those who work with children in this place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the work of those organisations which care for children in the gravest need. And we say thank you to everyone who's brought gifts today, that we may lighten a Christmas for a child. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we go out, Lord, into our lives, help us to understand what it means to make our own choices about how we live and how we share your love in this world, that this may be a world of justice, peace, and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us say together the word that Jesus taught his friends to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In a moment we're going to sing the closing hymn, and after that we'll say together the blessing which is on the sheet, and then we'll sing the Vesper that's on the sheet too. We sing it twice. And then after that, could I just ask you to... No, I'm going to come down here, and with Natalie and Johnny and Leo and the family, we're going to give an opportunity for people to take pictures of the family round the font. Is that okay? But the service is over and you're free to get up, and the coffee is being served while all that happens. Is that okay? So thank you all for coming. It's been a pleasure to share this service with you. He was lovely. And we've chosen for the last hymn, a hymn of hopefulness, joy and love. Let us sing together, Lord of all hopefulness. Together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.